Welcome back. Rinse hour number two. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and I am in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We spent hour number one talking about two things, the Masters and Conor McGregor in the UFC. Mostly the latter and not the former. We go into hour number two, and it's more of the same. As I mentioned, I could do an entire program on this story alone. Absolutely incredible what went down yesterday. Joining us now to break it down even further, because he's been on this story for the last 24 hours. He is a journalist for MMAfighting.com. He is the host of the MMA Hour and the MMA Beat. He is outside of the Brooklyn courthouse where Conor McGregor is expected to emerge in the next hour or so. Ariel Helwani is my guest. Ariel, it's great to have you in the jungle. What's up? How are you?
Jim, it is a pleasure. It's actually an honor listening to you for many, many years. It's about time you call me, Jim, and I wish it wasn't under these circumstances, but it's great to be on talking to you.
Ariel, great to have you on. And in fact, I should have done this a lot sooner. I've been following your work for quite some time. You've done a great job in building your own personal brand. I should have done this sooner. Now, let me ask you this. You were at Media Day for UFC 223 yesterday. Let me first ask, how was Media Day progressing, and then when did everything change?
So Media Day was pretty normal. The rumor was that Conor was contemplating coming to Brooklyn for UFC 223, which is scheduled to take place. And by the way, if you're hearing people yell outside the courthouse, which is where I'm standing, is unrelated. It's a protest going on unrelated to the Conor McGregor incident. So I apologize if they're a little loud. I'm walking away from them as we speak. But it was fairly normal, but there was sort of this cloud hanging over everything. Will Conor show up on Tuesday? One of Conor's best friends and his training partner, Artem Lobov, got into a bit of a skirmish with Khabib Nurmagomedov, who's, at least as of this moment, fighting in the main event tomorrow. But that's a crazy story. This is the craziest 24 hours in the history of the sport, Jim, and that's no hyperbole. We could get to that in a second. But anyway, they get into a skirmish on Tuesday. I told Conor saw the footage. That's when he decided, okay, I'm coming to Brooklyn, rallied his friends. They flew in late Wednesday, and then Thursday they came to the media day in search of Khabib Nurmagomedov. They arrived at around 1:20 p.m. Eastern time, so Media Day ended at 1. In fact, I was told that they were planning on actually crashing Media Day, but they were late. They just couldn't get up in time. So then they get to the arena at 1:20, the Barclays Center. No one's there anymore. They find out that the fighters are at the loading dock. They go down the elevator, and then they see that there are the vans taking the fighters back to the hotel because Media Day was wrapping up. They spot Khabib and his team in the van, and there's a bunch of other fighters in the van as well, and that's when the melee ensued. That's when the things were thrown. That's when Michael Chiesa and Ray Borg got injured, and that's the footage that you saw.
Ariel Helwani joining us. Listen, I know that Conor and Lobov are close, but why would that be enough to get Conor and his whole crew to jump on a plane for New York? And do you have any idea what was going through Conor's mind yesterday?
Okay, so Conor and Artem are supremely close. The Artem-Khabib situation revolves around Conor. Conor is very interested in the main event as it was supposed to be the original main event, Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. Of course, you probably know that Ferguson injured his knee last week while doing interviews in the freakiest way possible. He tripped over a cord. I mean, that was the craziest part of the story, and now it's like the fifth craziest part of the story. And so he was interested and was contemplating coming to support his friend and also watch the fight. But then once he saw essentially, his friend Artem cornered by 10 or so Dagestani Russians, he said, okay, enough is enough. And he wanted to make clear that this wasn't any issue with the UFC, the attack on the bus. He has been at odds with the UFC in the past, but this was 100% retaliation in their mind for what they did to Artem. Artem was there as a result. Dana White pulled Artem from the card. Michael Chiesa has been pulled from the card due to the lacerations that he suffered on his face from the broken glass. Ray Borg was pulled from the card due to the glass going into his eye, and he suffered scratches in his cornea. I mean, so they lost three fights on a 13-fight card, and then this morning it was supposed to be Max Holloway stepping in to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. He was deemed medically unfit to fight. New York pulled him, and now they're searching for an opponent for Khabib Nurmagomedov. You cannot script this stuff. It's unbelievable.
Ariel Helwani joining us. All right, so to that point, you cannot script this stuff. You cannot script this stuff. Help me make this argument, because I've been trying to make it for the past hour or so. It's not scripted. This was not a stage promotion. They didn't do this to try to create any interest. As you point out, Ariel, they lost three fights because of this. Why would Dana White or anybody stage this? Can you help me make that argument? Because a lot of the listeners and clones still aren't buying it.
Jim, I'll try not to get too emotional talking about this, but with all due respect, if anyone is out there banging the drum that this is some kind of WWE storyline concocted by Conor McGregor and Dana White, who, by the way, aren't the best of friends, I mean, you've absolutely lost your mind. I am literally standing outside of a courtroom that Conor McGregor was brought to this morning in handcuffs. Do you think that he wanted this? Do you think this is all part of the plan? Do you think that the NYPD was a part of this whole story? I mean, where does the line kind of end there? You know, if you're asking me, did Conor plan on going after Khabib and creating this melee? Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what they came to do. It's very clear what they were trying to do. So if you want to say that's plan, okay, sure. But if you want to say that the UFC and Conor and Khabib, they're all in cahoots to create some sort of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vince McMahon storyline, I mean, have a little more respect for the sport that we cover. Yes, it's a little circus-like at times, and, you know, yes, it can be a little freaky at times, as we're witnessing right now. But these are real athletes, and it's a real sport, and there's real injuries involved here. So I have no doubt that if this fight comes to fruition, which in my opinion would be the biggest selling fight in the history of the sport, Khabib versus Conor, they will use this footage like they used the Jon Jones, Daniel Cormier footage and that melee at MGM Grand. But right now, there is no one with a script in the back saying, oh, man, this is working out perfectly for us.
No, thinking that was staged is really idiotic. One more thought on that, and I thought you explained that very well. But do you think that maybe Conor went there with the intention of making a scene and then it just got away from him and it got out of hand? Or was this his intent all along?
Look, I don't want to speak for him because I haven't had a chance to speak for him. I do know that he did have his personal photographer there. You wouldn't recognize him, but I recognize him, and I've seen him in the footage, and he was holding a camera. So it's not like they were trying to shy away from that. Also, as you saw, there's a ton of footage, and people have cell phones these days, but even like USC got footage, which I'm sure is going to come out at some point. So it wasn't like they were trying to hide. In fact, Khabib Nurmagomedov called me afterwards, and it was somewhat unexpected. It was from an unknown number, so he kind of caught me off guard. And he essentially said, you know, in his broken English, which is very compelling, hey, you know, we're in gangster country here. You want to talk to me? Tell me where you are. I'll come find you. Don't come with cameras. Don't come with your entourage. Don't come throwing things at me. If you want to talk, let's talk. Of course, that didn't happen. He also said he didn't want Conor to go to jail. He wants to actually fight him.
All right, so what about that? He spoke to you after that went down, and you had Khabib on your show recently. For those who don't really know him, how would you describe him? And although you touched on it, what do you think that he makes of what happened yesterday?
Okay, so he may not be a household name here in the United States, but believe me when I say he is a gigantic star in Russia, in Dagestan, where he's from. I mean, he cannot walk outside. That's how big of a star he is. I mean, I would equate him to someone like, say, LeBron James here in the United States. He is as big as it gets right now in Russia. And so he has to walk out with security. He enjoys coming to train in the United States. Oh no, the protesters are coming after me now. They're walking my direction. So he is just a gigantic star. And if he is able to get a belt, if they can put a belt finally around his waist, he is 25-0. He has never lost a round in an official UFC or MMA fight. He has never lost a round in sparring. He has never lost a round in his gym. He is that dominant. He is like a lion in there. If you want to learn more about this guy, go check out his fight in December against Edson Barbosa. I've never seen a high-level fighter like Barbosa get mauled the way Khabib mauled him. There's footage of him at 9 years old wrestling with a bear. That's how he would train. Legit footage of him as a 9-year-old wrestling with a bear with no fear. He is stoic. At times he is expressionless, but he is our equivalent to, say, someone like Triple G because of the way he talks, because of the way he trash talks with the broken English, you know, that Eastern European accent. People love him. They adore him. I would put him right now in the category of Conor and Nate Diaz, not quite at their level, but right below in terms of the biggest stars and the biggest draw in this sport. I mean, this guy is a superstar waiting to break through. He just had horrible luck. And once again, he has horrible luck here because he may not fight on Saturday because as of right this second, they don't have an opponent for him. Unbelievably.
All right, so last thought before you get swallowed up by the protesters, there's a lot to clear up now between, well, legally, for Conor to get through. Do you expect a fight in the future between Conor and Khabib? And if so, what do you think would happen?
Okay, this is all that I can say that I expect right now. They told us at 2:15 Eastern time, 11:15 Pacific, he is going to be arraigned. I'm not a veteran of these situations, but what one of the cops told me was that it shouldn't take very long. They'll set a court date, they'll set bail, and he should be able to walk out of here on his own. Whether or not he's allowed to fly back to Dublin remains to be clear. Remains to be seen. I was actually told by one of the cops, a lot of them are like huge fans of his, which is kind of, you know, funny that they're all like taking part in all this, told me that he's downstairs at the courthouse shadow boxing and has been very cooperative with everyone involved. I mean, it's just a surreal scene. As far as Can he fight? Will he fight? Look, I think Dana White, who I've been critical of in the past, the way he's sort of lost his passion, his way since the sale, I think he's handled this whole situation very well. I think he's said all the right things. They're not cutting Conor. Do not think that for a second. He is the biggest star in the history of the sport. They need to, you know, they need to weather this storm and circle the date November 3rd, which is the UFC's next date at Madison Square Garden. That, to me, seems like the most logical date for him to return. However, I will say, as you know, New York has been very hesitant to embrace MMA. In fact, they were the last state to legalize MMA, and what transpired in the last 24 hours, I think, doesn't bode well for many more shows coming here, at least for now. These are obstacles that the UFC is going to have to overcome, even though they're such a big moneymaker. But I think if you want to think about a time frame, if all goes well, if there's no legal ramifications, he doesn't go to jail, all that stuff, I've always been told that November would be the best guess right now. So much could change, but that's what I was told before all of this.
He is stationed adjacent to that Brooklyn courthouse, a journalist for MMAfighting.com, host of the MMA Hour and the MMA Beat. Ariel Helwani, my guest. Ariel, great job. Well done. Once again, I should have done it sooner. I'm not going to wait nearly as long next time, and extremely well done by you.
I used to listen to you all the time with my mom, and she got a great thrill when I told her that you finally called me, Jim. So thank you so much. I appreciate it, and keep up the great work.
You can tell moms you crushed it. Nice job, Ariel. Well done. Much respect. All right, so he's right outside that Brooklyn courthouse giving you the very latest on what happened. And when I said to him, help me with this, do you think that's staged? He said, look, I don't want to get too emotional about this, but I cover this sport. I know what the sport's about. I know what the guys who are in the sport are about. No, that was not staged. Go ask Conor McGregor, and the video is on a loop. You see it on TMZ. This guy's coming out with handcuffs on. Why would he do something like that? Why is that good for his brand? It's like, hey, Rome, that everything was staged. I've said this a million times. I can't tell you how many times this comes up. I'm like, why would I do that? Because everybody knows you. You're a household name. Yeah, but my career could have ended right there. Why would I consent to something like that? And why would I want to be known only for that? Because it made you a household name. Yeah, I guess. But that's not what you want to be known for. Just like Conor McGregor does not need or want to be known for this. This guy was on top of the world. That was not staged. If that was part of a promotion, and I'm here to tell you it was not. If that was part of a promotion, that was the dumbest promotion ever. Now Dana White, he's got to make up several fights. He's got to come up with several fights that he just lost for a promotion that's going right into the toilet. Why would he do that? The answer is, of course, he wouldn't. So for some reason, a lot of you clones are still just banging on that drum, banging away. It was a setup. It was staged. WWE, not MMA. That was not staged, clearly. All right, when we come back, your thoughts on that. We'll talk more about the Masters. I should check the leaderboard for you. Haven't done that recently. 1-800-636-8686. If you're ready for a new topic, we could talk about Kyrie Irving. Out not only for the rest of the regular season, but the postseason as well. Where does that leave the Celtics? Can they make any kind of deep run without this guy? That's still ahead. Got some Major League Baseball, too. We're talking hockey also in this program. Albie's Week That was coming up. Now would be a great time for a really good telephone call. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Barry Trotz coming up next hour, but we're open between now and then. This tweet is from PC Brent 1. UFC 223 is more messed up than last Friday's opening segment. Way more messed up. Way more messed up. What he's talking about, you may have missed it. I came out here on Friday last week, fired up, spewing lava takes. I felt so good about myself. One of my best opens in several months. And then finally Alvin says to me, keys in with, dude, don't know how to tell you this, but you're not on the air, and you haven't been for like 8 minutes. I said, well, that's great, Alvin.
Dude.
At what point were you going to tell me that? Well, dude, the thing is, you were feeling it, and you were doing so great. None of us wanted to tell you that you weren't on the air, so because I've been here the longest, and you treat me the best, they all nominated me to do it. Dude, you haven't been on the air like in 8 minutes. You mean the best 8 minutes I've had in the last several months? That's true. We were not on the air in the open last week. That's what he's talking about. UFC 223 is way more jacked up than that. Rome, I am the lead conspiracy theory investigator. I can confirm that Conor McGregor's incident was not scripted. My pet dinosaur agrees. Signed, Jordan Clarkson. John in Huntington Beach, War Buena Park, being kicked out of Orange County. Hey, John, that's not your brand. You don't want to fly that banner.
Hey,
it wasn't funny the first time. It's really not funny the second time. Stop coming up with these regions of the OC that you want out. Do you think it was scripted or not? Dana was infuriated by that notion. Ariel Helwani just said on the program, I get emotional with stuff like this. I'm here to tell you, look around you. Why would anybody involved want that to happen? Who benefited from that? Quote, show a little respect to our sport and the guys in our sport. I mean, he took the question personally. He took that personally. Why would anybody consent to that? Let's go to the phones. We go to Omaha, Nebraska. Mike in Omaha. Good to have you, Mike. How are you?
Rome, man. Long time no talk, dude.
What's up, Mike?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you why King Dana knew this was going to happen. It's scripted. Did he want people getting injured? Did he want the lawsuit? Probably not. Let me go back real quick, Rome, to the Brock Lesnar era when he came in, and that's when the UFC started becoming WWF. That was Dana's biggest pay-per-view draw. Ronda Rousey, who's going to be in WrestleMania now, big coincidence, both those two are in WWE now doing WrestleMania. Those were his two biggest pay-per-view draws until Conor came. So let me ask this. Nobody's asked this question here. How in the hell in 2018 in New York City, the Barclays Center, with all the insane security, with the UFC security, does Conor McGregor come unannounced, roll up to the Barclays, just kind of roll in there, go down in the garage and do all this without nobody knowing? And Seth said, well, the Mac Life guys, those guys credentialed him. They're not credentialing 30 of Conor's goons to go in there. So you're damn right King Dana knew about this. Did he know all this was going to happen? Did he want people to get injured and lose a card? This was a scrub card anyways once Ferguson went down. They don't care about this. WMEIMG, since they took over, for us hardcore UFC fans, we could care less about some of this WWF stuff that Dana promotes. We want the old school UFC. But right now it's all about Floyd. It's all about Conor. That's his biggest pay-per-view. That's what he's making money.
All right, so let me respond to that, Mike. Yeah, I think, listen, I don't agree with what you're saying, but I think you make a very good point. I mean, that's a well-reasoned point. That's a hell of a lot better than some of you conspiracy theorists coming in all half-cocked, half-ass, and not having any idea what you're talking about. This guy just said, come on. Come on. Conor McGregor could get down there without anybody knowing, without Dana White knowing. And then Dana would say, I'll tell you how he got down there. The Mac Life guys let him down there. The Mac Life guys work for Conor McGregor. Dana would say they were credentialed. They let them down there. Yeah, but credentialed guys could get Conor McGregor down there with 20 of his goons or 20 of his thugs? I think that's reasonable. I think that's a reasonable point that you make. However, Dana would say, are you kidding? Knew about this, wanted this to happen. It's the most despicable day in the history of this company, and it's criminal activity. Why would I know about and condone criminal, goon-like, thug-like activity?
This has never happened in my history of being with the UFC. Listen, this is a fight game. Mean things are said, people get in each other's faces, people grab each other and do stuff like that. It's completely normal. But what happened today was criminal, disgusting, despicable, makes me sick. We as an organization need to make sure that this never happens again.
So if you follow that logic, if you follow the logic that Dana White knew and silently condoned it, and I don't follow that logic, I don't think so at all. But if you follow that logic, the logic is, oh, he knew, he let them down there or turned the other way or silently condoned it. He knew, but it blew up in his face. And it got away from all of them. So now Dana, as your argument would go, not my argument, but your argument would go, he knew, he allowed it, it got out of control, it got away from them. So now Dana is running them all under the bus that Conor tried to attack. And he's now saying things like, it's despicable, it's embarrassing, it's criminal. Oh, and those Mac Life guys, go ahead and throw some silver bracelets on them too.
I hope they get arrested too. I hope the two guys from Mac Life get arrested, too, for being a part of it. They have it all on film. Hopefully they get arrested, too.
Now, I tend to think it's legitimate. Maybe it got away from Connor. Maybe it got away from him. But I think the camp, the blood between those two camps is that bad. I think they hate each other's guts. I think Connor had his guy's back. I think Connor is very, very close to his guy. And as stupid as it was, I mean, literally, he got on a plane to have his guy's back because he thought that he was disrespected. You know, it's about that life. I tend to think that's exactly what happened. Very, very dumb decision. Very, very bad choice. And Connor got sucked up in it, and he did it. And he had 20 of his goons come with him, and now he's going to pay the price. But no, I don't think that Dana White or the UFC or this sort of thing didn't happen back in the day with the Fertittas, but because of the merger, it now happens, and they're desperate, and it was a nonsense card that nobody cared about when Ferguson went down, and therefore they thought, let's go ahead and turn Connor loose. Let Connor go down there in the depths of the arena, and let's see what happens. You know, for what? Now the guy's going to face a major suspension. Dana's got no choice but to come down hard on him. You have to think that Dana knows this guy runs pretty hot and something bad might happen if you turn him loose down there. So, no, I don't buy it. I do not buy it. The card is blown up because of it. Connor's going to go to jail or face legal repercussions because of it. Connor's going to have to scratch a lot of checks because of it. And Dana White's going to have to suspend him because of it. So what do you get out of manufacturing something like this? A little more hype, a little more heat, a little more interest. No, you can't convince me of that. As far as the conspiracy, a guy who's on the grounds, who's covered that sport, Ariel Helwani, came on the show in the past half hour. I put the question to him, and here's how he responded.
Jim, I'll try not to get too emotional talking about this, but with all due respect, if anyone is out there banging the drum that this is some kind of WWE storyline concocted by Conor McGregor and Dana White, who, by the way, aren't the best of friends, I mean, you've absolutely lost your mind. I am literally standing outside of a courtroom that Conor McGregor was brought to this morning in handcuffs. Do you think that he wanted this? Do you think this is all part of the plan? Do you think that the NYPD was a part of this whole story? I mean, where does the line kind of end there? You know, if you're asking me, did Conor plan on going after Khabib and creating this melee? Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what they came to do. It was very clear what they were trying to do. So if you want to say that's plan, okay, sure. But if you want to say that the UFC and Conor and Khabib, they're all in cahoots, create some sort of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vince McMahon storyline, I mean, have a little more respect for the sport that we cover. Yes, it's a little circus-like at times, and, you know, yes, it can be a little freaky at times, as we're witnessing right now, but these are real athletes, and it's a real sport, and there's real injuries involved here. So I have no doubt that if this fight comes to fruition, which in my opinion would be the biggest selling fight in the history of the sport, Khabib versus Conor, they will use this footage like they used the Jon Jones, Daniel Cormier footage and that melee at MGM Grand. But right now, there is no one with a script in the back saying, oh, man, this is working out perfectly for us.
Ariel Helwani on the show earlier this hour. Easy topic, clones, easy topic. Hit me up right now. Call me 1-800-636-8686 and follow me on Twitter. Hit it there. If you want to shoot me an email, do that too. Rome, R-O-M-E at haveatake.com. Podcast Friday. Podcast Friday, Draymond Green. We're doubling up this week. We had Elk earlier in the week, and that was probably the most talked about podcast we've ever had. Elk killing it. Elk told me he was inundated by clones at Augusta. Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors is going to join me later on today. That podcast will drop this afternoon. Look for that. Barry Trotz coming up next hour. Right now, time for a sports update. Lots to get to, including an update from a...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The cat is not off to a very good start. About 100 yards out. On his first hole of the day, misses the green. So we're tracking that for you, too. Hefty had a triple earlier today. Not a triple-triple animal style, just a triple. Coming up later on, I've got the week that was from Albie, the ATP, and more. His email contest also upcoming, brought to you by Zipa. Clone, snoring is disrespectful. It's very offensive. You need to stop right now. You can stop by getting a Zipa. Make everybody happy. Zipa is 100% guaranteed to work. Guaranteed to work. Zipa, ZYPPAH.com. I mean, I could not have hit this thing any harder. To me, that was not staged. Except a lot of you think that it was staged. In fact, the harder I went on that, the more convinced you were that it was staged. Hey, look, I get it. We live in an age of skepticism where nobody buys anything. Nobody believes anything anymore. I get that. We're jaded. We're cynical. I really do understand that. But not everything is a conspiracy theory. Not everything is manufactured, contrived, or staged. Again, I really don't know what these guys get out of staging something like that. Conor McGregor. Hey, listen, Conor, here's what we want you to do. We want you to get on a plane, fly from Ireland, come to New York. We'll let you in the building. You go downstairs and then find objects, wherever you can find. A bike rack, a barrier, whatever you can find. And we've got your back on this. Whatever you can find, weaponize it. Run it through the window of a bus. And if you can hurt guys who are on the fight card inside of the bus, you go ahead and do that. And listen, you're probably going to end up going to jail. You'll probably spend the night in jail. You'll probably have to pay all sorts of millions and millions of dollars in legal fees and lawsuits. But man, it'll be good for your brand, Connor. Be sure to bring your photog. Get some good video. Yeah, I don't see who would sign up for something like that. Dear Jim, many people loved watching Sergio Garcia play horribly because they have seen him throw his clubs, spit in the hole, and berate members of the gallery. However, I had the good fortune to meet him yesterday, and he was very approachable and extremely generous to me. Signed, The Water Hazard, in front of the 15th green.
I didn't spit. I just let it go down. But anyway.
Wore Titleist Pro V1s, unwore range balls. Signed, Denlesks, aspiring ball washer attendants. Attendant. All right, so what about that offending champ? Let's just, before we close the door on that, let's take one look back. How did old Serge do yesterday? The good news is he did make history at Augusta. Good news is he made history. The bad news is the worst kind of history at Augusta on Thursday.
Sergio has put his fourth ball in the water at 15. Now what do you do?
Once again, keeping the point between himself, he winds up being able to take about three steps to his left. Same shot, another 70-yarder. This one a little bit right of the hole and past the hole, but this has even more spin on it. This one is racing back. It's caught the slope. Now off the green. They're going to make a stack of Sergio's golf balls in the pond right there. A fifth ball in the water at hole 15, and it has come apart.
I'm not going to say I lost it, but I definitely stopped winning it.
Nobody has ever won the Masters on a Thursday, but plenty of guys have lost it, including Submergio. Heyo, Submergio Garcia. Back to back to back to back to back. Callaway chrome softs in the drink. This guy went and dunked two sleeves of rocks into the creek on 15. Five straight shots in the water. And if he didn't jug a 20-footer to get the hell out of there, it would have been even worse. My man put a 13 on his card. A 13, three holes worth of golf. I'm telling you right now, I could roll up to my club, and I do belong to a club, and I don't play. I could roll up to my club, pull any bat from the pro shop, peg it up at any par five on that track, and I could get in under 13, and I don't even play. I guarantee it. I know it. No question. How many of you Muni hacks listening right now have ever written a 13 on a card? Any of you? Ever? And for the record, that was the highest score ever recorded at number 15 at Augusta National. Way to go, Submergio. You're making quite a name for yourself out there. And here's the kicker. This guy's got no shot at making the weekend, even making the weekend as defending champ, unless he comes out and he fires a 62, which he won't because nobody will. But despite that fact, he's got to hang around all weekend long just so he can help whoever does win that tournament into their new green jacket. My advice, go into town on Saturday, get some scuba gear, and go fish out those rocks from 15 because chrome softs are not cheap. And Sergio just left about $40 worth of them in the drink. Nobody thought that Sergio was going to go back-to-back, but going back to back to back to back to back and make 13. That's the most Sergio thing ever. And I don't care how well he handled that yesterday. Still the most Sergio thing ever. Congrats on the Baker's dozen, Serge. Enjoy 18 more today and a great weekend watching golf like the rest of us. And we'll see you in the Butler cabin when you throw that blazer on the next guy's shoulders. Four, five, back to back to back to back to back. 13. Have any of you ever written the number 13 down before? Sergio, 8 over Parcia. I got a million of them, and they're all lame. Submergio is Sergio, 8 over Parcia. Tigers plus one after one for the day. He bogeyed number one. He's plus two. Phillip just chunked a flop shot. He's not having a very good day. And I'm still looking for that one good phone call. 1-800-636-8686. If you don't want to talk either MMA or golf and you want to hit something else, I'm here for it. I'll tell you something we will talk about next hour. Hockey, Barry Trotz, Capitals head coach. We're hitting this thing hard coming into the postseason in the NHL. Don't forget, Podcast Friday starring Draymond Green. That will drop later on. Let's go to Atlanta. Always good to check in with the ATL. Rich in Atlanta. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, Jim. The last time I called you was over 10 years ago, and I waited on hold for 2 hours because I was pathetic and wanted to get on the air. So it's nice to be back on the air with you now.
How long did you wait today, Rich?
I don't know. I'm an adult now, like 10 minutes.
All right, good, man. Nice.
So anyways, I just wanted to comment. I think you're seeing this the wrong way about the whole Connor thing. Like, I'm not saying it was faked because he is literally being charged. But the problem is he's was let in. It's just a big conspiracy thing. Ferguson dropped out. They have no hype. I mean, look at the biggest fighters right now. Jeremy Stevens. No.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Good news, bad news, Rich. Good news is you didn't have to wait 2 hours because, in your words, you're an adult now. Bad news is you got run. Just because you didn't wait 2 hours doesn't mean you need to take 2 hours to get to your point. I'm trying to keep you involved. I want this thing to be as interactive as possible. I want telephone calls. I did not set out to host a talk show with no telephone calls. It only turned out that way because the phone calls generally are not that good. Get yourselves together. Know what you want to talk about. Make your point. I understand they pay me to do this. I understand this is where I live. I understand I do this every single day. I understand I'm probably more comfortable doing this than you because that's not your job. Still, if you're going to call the program, you don't need to agree with me at all on anything. You don't even need to like me. Just know what you want to say and then get to it. Make your point. And then we'll have the conversation. I think he was trying to make the point that the UFC, wow, I don't even know what his point was. That's my whole point. My point is, I don't know your point. What is your point? What do you want to say? Get it together. Was it staged? Was it fixed? And did it get away from them? Or did Connor? Is the blood between these two camps that bad that Connor saw his guy get disrespected and said, oh, hell no. That's not how we roll. That's not what we do. Hang in there, brother. I'll be there tomorrow. And then he showed up, and they had something to do, and they did it. Or was it planned, and did it backfire? Rome, it had to be staged. Rome, no chance that was real. Not Connor's fight. Sergio's choked. Yowza, that was bad. Ben from Charleston, more me hitting balls into the ocean and still not dropping as many in the water as Serge. I mean, right? Nobody's ever done that, much less the guy who won the tournament last year. Has anybody ever put it in the drink 5 times in a row? Has anybody ever written the number 13 on a card? Ever. I'm telling you, I belong to a club. It's a really nice track, a really challenging track. I don't play golf. I could show up there, pull any bat out of the pro shop, and not get 13 on any of the par fives on that track. I believe that. But Sergio did, as defending champ with everybody watching? That makes no sense. Come on now. Let's try another one. Man, I am really motivated to get a good phone call in here. Let's go to New Hampshire. Paul in New Hampshire. No waiting, right to the front of the line, because I feel like this is the guy. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Good, great. What's up?
Yes, 100% this thing was staged, but it was staged. They're both in it. They don't like each other, but they're in it to make money. It was staged, and it got away. It was Dana not thinking ahead that you cannot control Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor got out of hand, got out of control, and all Dana saw was a big payday, and this was his opportunity to build the next mega fight and put money in his pocket.
You see, that's me. I don't agree, Paul, but I think that's more reasonable. That's a lot more reasonable than the conspiracy theorists coming in. Everything's fixed. Everything is staged. Of course, that's what he had in mind. He knew what he was doing. I don't agree with it, but that's more reasonable that, yeah, they knew what they were doing. And they let Conor down there, and they were trying to create some heat. But again, my counter to that is they don't need to do that with Khabib and Conor. That's already as big a fight as they could ever make for that sport. You don't need to do that with any of Conor's fights, whether it's Diaz, Alvarez, Khabib, Aldo. It's Conor McGregor. He's the biggest thing in the sport. You don't need to manufacture that hype, even if Khabib is not a household name outside of that sport. By the time it came around to doing it and getting ready for that fight, he'd be much more household. You would know who he is. You would know what he's about. You don't need to do it for Conor McGregor. Every one of his fights are huge. The risk far outweighs the reward. Because this is the risk you run. Now your biggest fighter is coming out of jail in handcuffs. Now your biggest fighter is imploding and you're going to have to suspend him. And that fight that you wanted so badly that you concocted this whole thing for is going to be much further down the road because of what happened. Yeah, it's a more reasonable point that, yeah, they knew, but they didn't want that to happen. They wanted something to happen, but they did not want that to happen. It's a more reasonable point, but I don't buy that either. You don't need to a McGregor. McGregor's out of control. I don't know what he was thinking or what he was doing. Conor said, I don't know if this guy's on drugs or what. I really don't know. I have no idea. I'd love to know what it was. At Chris R. Cobos tweets, I wrote a 13 on my card. Yours, Adam Hawks, education section on his resume. Here you go. I asked the question, has anybody ever written a 13 on the card? Yes. Education level, 13th grade. Adam Hawk, and then in parentheses, 3X for three times. A three-time JUCO dropout. Adam Hawk. Wah! Wah! Hefty in the drink on 12. He's not going to win. So the two guys that we thought were going to bring everybody back, and that all the young guns would be squirting sandwiches out of their backside. Hefty and the cat. Doesn't look like it now, does it? When we return for the third hour, we talk to Capitals head coach Barry Trotz. That's next. Week that was still ahead. ATP. More of you telling me that the fix was in yesterday, I'm sure. All coming up next hour.
They're going to squirt the sandwich.